Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 68 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I have put a link to that back on the description page for this episode of Blog Talk Radio. And I just want to say hello to all of the new people that have been listening to the show and writing to me. There's been like a little burst of new people contacting me and saying they heard about the show and they've been listening. So thank you for listening, and I'm excited you're excited because it's all exciting, and I love doing this show, and I love talking to new people and hearing from you. And if you're somebody who has recommended this show to a friend, thank you very much. I super appreciate it. I love meeting you guys here every Tuesday, so it's 100% all pleasure. And I usually get a question, the same question over and over again, but I've gotten it a lot in the last couple weeks. So that's what this show is going to be about. How to be a kick-ass witch, although people don't usually phrase it that way. That's the way I'm phrasing it because that's the kind of witch I am and that's the kind of witch I want to be. But people often email me this, like, how do I become a witch, or I'm interested in witchcraft, where do I start? Sometimes they ask me what tradition I practice or what kind of witchcraft I recommend. And so I thought that I would do a show to address this question. I want to say once and for all, but it's probably not once and for all because, you know, people stumble on this stuff randomly and they don't get the whole scope of who I am and what I talk about, which is in evidence in the question itself, because they wouldn't ask me what tradition I practice if they had heard, you know, a handful of my shows. So my answer really is very simple. If you want to become a witch, you probably already are, and you need to only just claim that for yourself. I think there's a little bit of witch or a lot of witch, depending on the person, in everybody. And I am the last person that anyone should be asking about traditions, because I really do just kind of thumb my nose up at that stuff. And I don't mean any disrespect to people who have respect for these things or for people who do practice a formal tradition. I know people get a lot out of that. I am just not one of them, and it's just not for me. I don't want a religion in my life. I had enough of that in the first part of my life, and it's just something that doesn't appeal to me anymore. What I do want is magic. I want real magic that actually works. That's why I use the word kick-ass, because I like to talk about action that makes a real difference in people's lives, and I think that taking action is so much about that, and so I don't like to talk about a lot of really airy, fairy concepts or things that might lead people to spend a lot of time locking themselves alone in a room and trying to conjure up demons and angels and a lot of time in fantasy. It's not even that I don't think that doing those things are valuable. I spent a lot of time channeling and practicing astral travel and lucid dreaming and all that stuff, especially in my 20s. It's definitely part of my path. But when my life started really kicking in and feeling good and in alignment with who I was and my purpose, it kind of turned into this kick-ass thing where I learned, like, oh, you have to meet the universe halfway. You have to take action. You have to actually do stuff. It's not all, like, wave your magic wand and things just, like, poof, magically appear. They do sometimes, but not usually. So for me, it's about that. And I want a spiritual connection that is deep and daily. So I'm probably a lot witchier than I seem based on the tongue-in-cheek way that I present things here and on my website. And that's just because I do keep most of my practice private. And that's not that I think that my magic will somehow be diminished by sharing it with you guys. It's just that it's personal. And as gregarious and extroverted and giggly as I may be, I'm actually a bit of a privacy freak. And people who know me well find this very frustrating about me. I love to spend long periods of time alone, and I have certain drawers and boxes and books that if you touch them, I might completely freak out on you because it's private. Don't touch that. I feel the need to take what is in my head and put it on paper, which is a problem for a privacy freak, you know, because you never feel safe leaving the house. Somebody might read your diary, and that's happened to me before, but that's who I am. So you don't really actually get to see the, you know, super deep spiritual things that I'm up to or my witchy practices, because that's just for me. You know, some of it's weird, some of it's just so personal to me, I don't even know how to explain it because it's really just about working with my own feelings and energy and things like that. But when it comes to the broad strokes and general philosophy, I am more than happy to share that with you. One of the things I think that a lot of people, when they start out being curious about magic, you know, you'll pick up books that say witch. Like for me, my first books, when I really wanted to start exploring and was just curious even. I didn't even want to start exploring at this point. I was just curious. It had the word witch in it. I didn't even know what Wicca was. They were Phyllis Currit books, Book of Shadows and Witchcrafting. I was interested in that. I thought, oh, that's interesting, witchcraft, woo. But she's actually a Wiccan priestess. But so a lot of people start with Wicca and then they kind of branch out from there, which I think is fine and is good a place start as any. There are like a bajillion Wicca 101 books out there. A lot of people start with Scott Cunningham, who has a very nice, simple approach. He has a book called Earth Magic that I really like. It's just very simple little spells that work with nature. And he has a really just easy to digest, friendly approach to his writing. So a lot of people love him. A lot of young people start with Silver Ravenwolf because she actually specifically speaks to teenagers. So a lot of people in their teens discover her. I actually think that Silver Ravenwolf, she's got this ginormous, like, encyclopedia-style Book of Shadows book. It's like this maroon, dark red colored book called Solitary Witch. I actually think that's a really great resource for a beginner because it is done in an encyclopedic style, and it's just sort of like everything about magic dumped into this one book, and you can read about the history and all the different tools and different traditions and all kinds of stuff. I love to take that book on road trips and just like flip around, you know, when I'm bored in the car, just flip through it. And it is meant for teenagers, but I actually got mine in my mid-30s, and I love it. It's just a really fun book, and it's not condescending. I think that's why teenagers like her, because she's not condescending to them or talking to them in a certain tone. So really, everybody can read that book, and you won't feel weird about it. There's occasional things about, like, a skateboard or your locker, but it's few and far between. And so that's a really fun book to dig around in if you're curious. But for me, how to be a kick-ass witch. If you wanted to explore kind of my way of doing things, it really comes down to three things: nature, magic, and personal responsibility. So I will try to talk about those three things here in this 30 minutes, now 20 minutes that I have left. Starting with nature, I like to say that nature is my temple, love is my religion, because that's a nice, cute way of summing up how I feel about it. I take a as above, so below, as within, so without approach, and I like to emphasize to people that you our nature. Because I think sometimes people forget that. They get really into the nature part of magic and witchcraft and Wicca and paganism, and then they treat their bodies like a trash can. So that's why I do the Sad to Sexy program. That's why I talk about health and things like that. But it's even more than paying attention to what you put on your body, like, you know, beauty products and lotions and things like that. Your skin sucks that stuff up and absorbs it. It affects your chemistry, which affects your mind, which affects your emotions. It's got a huge trickle-down effect. And it's more than that. It's more than what you put in your body, you know, the food that you eat, the kind of bacteria that you're taking in, the kind of bacteria that you're housing in your gut. That, again, affects your entire chemistry, every cell in your body, the way your mind works. That is going to affect your emotions. That is going to have, if, like me, you believe that like attracts like, that's going to have a profound experience on your experience, a profound effect on how you experience everything. So I'm really into that. But even beyond that, working with yourself as nature is about listening to your body's messages. And something that I just talked about in the last module, this summer solstice module of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, is kind of seeing your body as a spirit guide, like your greatest spirit guide. It's with you all the time, and it's constantly giving you signals. And it responds to your environment and to other people and certain places and certain music. So, you know, learning how to meditate is, to me, the cornerstone of any magical practice. And even in saying that, I guess I'm being judgmental. It's the cornerstone to my practice. It's very important. It may not be for everybody. It's hard for me to see how you could be really great at magic, or really connecting with your own body or your own experience if you don't have some experience with meditation. But if that's you, I would love to hear all about it. I think that meditation is key to just being able to tune in to what is going on inside of you and around you. And so having a practice that helps you stay in tune that way, I think, is great. And like I've said a million times, it doesn't have to be anything major. It could be sitting down for literally 2 minutes a day and just being quiet for 2 minutes and focusing on your breath. And to me, that's enough. And of course, you can take it so much further, and you can get into chakra work, which I think is really awesome. If you want to get super into that, I recommend checking out Western Body, Eastern Mind. That's very, very cool book. Big fat book, talks about each of the chakras. You can, Christopher Pinsak has a book called The Inner Temple of Witchcraft that I think is an excellent place to begin, really. I mean, if you really want to get into magic and how it works, I think that book is perfect. He talks about just a basic, creating like a basic energy ball with your hands, which is something really simple to do, and it's a great place to start working with energy and just realizing the energy that's coming off your own body. And he really breaks down a lot of different components from a very practical, exercise-based way that I think is awesome. It's not really about any kind of religious dogma. It's like, here's how you do this. And he explains it in a really easy-to-understand kind of way. And regarding nature, this something that I do, I'm not a Wiccan, but something that I did pick up from Wicca that I love and that is such a part of my life is celebrating the Wheel of the Year, because I just find it very profound. I love, like, pausing every 6 weeks or so to just be like, okay, what's going on in nature? How is that reflected in my mood and the energy levels all around me? Like, what lessons are there in this turn of the wheel? And how can I apply that to my life? And it's just nice to stop and pause and have a little celebration, you know, with what's going on with the trees or the leaves changing colors or the birds coming back or the birds leaving. Is it windy? Is it raining? All that stuff. Working with the elements, you know, that's about nature, earth, air, fire, water. I like to work with them in a very physical, tangible way and not so much about having earth, air, fire, water representations on an altar per se. I mean, that's neat and cool. But I really like to get into the elements, you know, like stick my feet in the dirt, squish my toes in the mud when I'm working with the earth element, go outside, let the breeze blow through your hair, doing breath work, you know, fire, focus, you know, kitchen witchery. That's all about the fire element, in my opinion, you know, the alchemical properties of fire, the way that fire can transform your food and actually bring certain nutrients out or destroy certain enzymes. And it's just fascinating to me. Love the fire element. And it's interesting how modern technology has actually kind of distanced us from that in a way. The last episode I did here was about the sun. So to me, that's like the ultimate representation of fire. So if you're interested in exploring that, you know, get out in the sun, lay out, get some sun, think about the fire element. And then, of course, water is so kick-ass because we're made of it mostly. And you can just completely, literally immerse yourself in water, which is something I love to do, is just like fill the bathtub up and get under the water and hold my breath. I grew up with a swimming pool, and we were in that sucker like 6 months out of the year every day. So sometimes I just need to go like, I need a swimming pool. I don't want to like soak myself in chlorine now that I know what the chlorine does to me, but does to your body. But I miss having a swimming pool, and my neighbors have a swimming pool, and my poor kid, he's out there. He spends a lot of time alone. He's by himself a lot. And he's in our backyard a lot by himself. And then we have these neighbors that have a swimming pool, and they have this huge family, and they always have friends over. So it's just constant screaming and playing in this pool. So I feel bad. I need to get my kid a pool. Random tangent. And myself, I need a pool. And then magic, you know, I'm trying to hang here with this nature, magic, personal responsibility theme. I see the clock ticking. Sometimes it's really hard for me to keep under this 30 minutes and say everything I want to say. But magic to me is important to calling myself a witch. I was practicing magic long before I picked up any books on witchcraft. And for me, I say, I was practicing the law of attraction before I knew what the law of attraction was. But for me, I came to magic consciously through the law of attraction. I experienced a lot of magic as a kid, growing up Mennonite Brethren, loving Jesus, super, super Christian. Lots of miracles occur. I would call that magic. But for me, I would say the crux of what I practice is really just plain old simple law of attraction, like attracts like. A lot of people who are into witchcraft and magic, they get really into the Hermetic principles. One of my early shows talks about how the Hermetic principles can be compatible with the law of attraction, because when you get into the law of attraction, there's just different nuances to it, like practicing the law of detachment, so which is something you might know from yoga or from other Eastern philosophies that maybe perhaps you have explored. The law of detachment is like, I want that thing. I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to put my intention into getting it. I'm going to raise my energy to be a match to that thing I want. And then I'm going to let it go. I'm going to detach. I'm not going to think about it anymore. Because sometimes really, really wanting something and having like a really needy energy around it can push it away. So that's like one example of how under the umbrella of the law of attraction, there are all these other little principles that can come into play. So you might want to explore the Hermetic principles as a way to further develop your practice. If you're a person that practices the law of attraction and you want to kind of mess around with the little nuances of it, you can go to Sacred Texts. I think there's a dash in there, www.sacred-texts.com. Dang, I remember saying this before and realizing it's hard to say on air. Text, T-E-X-T-S, text, sacredtexts.com, sacred-text.com, you can get the Kabbalion, where they originally broke down the seven hermetic principles, and you can read all about it from the original source for free on the internet if you're interested in that. But I don't even think that's necessary to practicing magic. You can really just start with law of attraction, and like attracts like, just the most basic like attracts like. If you're a happy, positive person, it's more likely that happy, positive experiences and people are going to be attracted to you. If you are really, really into physics and you love to read about physics, you're probably going to, you know, attract to yourself other people that like that subject. You know, you are who you hang out with is a really good example of the law of attraction and how that works. I really enjoy practicing the emotional guidance scale, which has to do with raising your vibration, which is really just improving your emotional feelings, self, improving your feelings, kind of like a ladder. So if you want to feel awesome because you're trying to be a match to something that is awesome, but you feel like crap right now, instead of trying to go from crap to awesome, you work your way up to awesome, like one little improvement at a time. So maybe you move from sad to angry, and that feels better. That's like a better feeling sensation. That's a better vibration. And then from angry, you move up to like a better feeling and a better feeling one step at a time until you are a match to what it is that you are trying to bring into your life. So please do go back through my old shows. I talk about all this stuff in greater detail, or, you know, Google the emotional guidance scale. You'll find all kinds of information on it. This is just sort of a nutshell of my take on how to be a kick-ass witch. So we covered nature, we covered magic. My kind of magic is law of attraction for the most part. Although I enjoy doing spells, I think that's really fun. In my opinion, a spell is the law of attraction. It's just a really creative, artsy way of practicing the law of attraction. And then the last component that I think is what puts the K in magic, what makes the kind of witch that I want to be kick ass, is personal responsibility. Because with great power comes great responsibility, which is so fitting because I love synchronicity. I think it's fascinating. And Daniel Laporte, just today, every day she does these little things called truth bombs, and today's was take radical responsibility. And I love that, radical responsibility. Like, what is that? Full responsibility for your life. And if you're practicing magic, to me, that's what it's all about. You know, you're practicing responsibility. You're taking responsibility for what's inside of you. You know, you're doing shadow work. You're looking at, you know, why do I react this way when somebody does this thing? You're learning how to intentionally respond to triggers rather than just letting like random things in your life trigger you off so that you don't go around hurting feelings or making messes or a total clown of yourself. You know, you're taking responsibility for what's going on inside of you and the actions that that produces. You're taking responsibility for your experience of life and your emotions. It's about saying, hey, I create my emotions, and I don't want to feel like this right now, so what am I going to do to change it? Instead of waiting for life, you know, to spoon feed you and letting your environment influence you and toss you around, it's about taking responsibility for yourself and be like, no, I don't want to feel like this, and this is what I'm going to do to step out of that. If you follow my Book Nerd series that I do every Monday on the blog now, love it because I'm a crazy book nerd, love my books. This last one, yesterday, it was on Anthony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within. I know some people might be like, but that has nothing to do with magic. To me, it has everything to do with magic because he talks about changing your state consciously and taking responsibility for your emotions and even changing your belief. And belief, to me, is so key to magic. If you believe that praying to Jesus will produce a miracle, I mean, if you truly believe it, it will. If you believe that chanting to the gods of Star Wars and, you know, channeling the Force will create magic for you, it will. It's so much to do with belief. So for me, Awaken the Giant Within, that book, it's extremely fundamental to what I do. I got that book when I was 17, long before I ever learned about magic. And that, I think, and practicing, learning about method acting when I was studying acting, was those two things really like set the stage for me for later when I learned about magic. I had these awesome tools like sense memory and being able to change my state at will. I already had that experience, so it was a lot easier to practice magic. And for me, that's, again, about taking responsibility for myself. And taking responsibility also isn't just about what's within, you know, as above, so below, as within, so without. It's also about taking responsibility what's outside you, like, and getting real with yourself, like radically truthful with what is going on in your life. The reality of your situation is reflecting at you who you are, the kind of people that you're attracting into your life, the kind of experiences that you're having. You know, you have to take responsibility for it because you don't have a choice. It's your life. It's your reality. And that's the clay that you have to work with and shape. And if you don't take responsibility for it, you're sort of just like flipping off an opportunity to make magic happen in your life. You have to know what it is you're working with. You have to know where it is you are before you can get to where it is you want to be. So to me, like getting real and really facing the reality of where you're at and not living in a fantasy world in your mind about where you wish you were, I think is really critical to maybe getting to where you wish you were. So it's about taking responsibility for what's inside, for what's outside of you. And again, like I said, meeting the universe halfway and really taking action, not just, you know, doing a spell to get such and such amount of money to come into your life, but doing that spell and then going out and taking action, meeting the universe halfway on getting that money for yourself and not just like being like, why isn't anybody knocking on my door with a bag of money? I did this spell to the letter. I'm just going to sit here and wait for the fairies to come down the chimney with my big bag of money. I think we're on this 3D reality. We're on this planet. We're in this material world for a reason. We're here to learn these lessons and to participate in a physical form in this reality. So I'm all about the action. So I think tradition is cool. If you really, really want a tradition, if everything I just said was like, yeah, that's fine, but I still want a tradition. I want to be a part of history. I think a great place to start is with your own family history, your ancestry. If you're Scandinavian, maybe you want to look into Norse traditions, German, if you're, you know, look into some Asatru if you're German, maybe if you're Italian, Strega. Christian, if you're Christian, I'm Christian, but you're American and, you know, your family's been in America for a while, maybe you want to look into hoodoo or powwow or something like that. If you're not really interested in exploring your own family line, maybe you could start with the land that you live on. So if you're American, maybe look into some Native American traditions, or if you're over in Europe, you could start looking into some Celtic traditions. God knows there's just tons and tons and tons of information on that. Go to Amazon and you're just going to find tons of stuff. So much of Wicca is, really comes from Celtic traditions and or what we think are Celtic traditions. Or maybe you're just a person that feels extremely drawn to, you know, something that seemingly has nothing to do with you, like an Egyptian pantheon, or maybe the Tao, which is totally fine. Just go there. If it appeals to you, it must appeal to you for a reason. I think there's nothing wrong with exploring that. As for myself, I am practicing a tradition of my own making. It is definitely the psycho-spiritual variety. You know, it pulls together my interests in psychology and spirituality. And I feel like I've taken little pieces with me of every single path that I have traveled, whether it's Christianity, practicing yoga, or the Tao, which is to me really compatible with paganism. The diet that I practice, which involves respecting the earth, my body, and other living creatures while simultaneously acknowledging and respecting the reality of the life, death, life cycle. For me, all these things are wrapped up together. My life is my spiritual practice. This podcast is my magic. And it's the same for you. Your magic is within you at all times. You don't need me or anyone else to tell you how to do it correctly. We might give you some ideas or a bit of inspiration here or there, but ultimately your path is yours to walk alone, and you don't need a certification or a degree to call yourself a witch. You can just call yourself a witch. No explanation required. So I will talk to you next Tuesday. I'm all out of time. Much love to you. Peace.